medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in the studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with the valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk. My name is Annie Graham.
And my name is Brian Patrick Clark.
And we're going to go straight in, Brian, to our first guest, who is just a wonderful man, household name, Jack Hanna.
Yes, and I am delighted to share some Ohio roots with him. So I'm
Well, don't bother,
yet.
All right? Because he's
no,
a busy man. He doesn't want to listen to your waffle. All
but right. I'm thrilled about having him have with this Ohio
bloodline. No, but listen, I found out something interesting. So without more ado, we're going to say good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. Listen, I found out something about you that I did not know. Well, I knew didn't know a lot of things about you, but this particular one was that in 1973, I believe it was, you were the director of the zoo here in Central Florida, in Sanford.
That's right. Yeah. Where are you all out of? Orlando?
Orlando, yes. And, you know, they've done some great things with that zoo.
Yeah, I was there, in 1973, four, and then left in 75 when they moved the zoo from the old little town of Sanford. It's only 1 acre there. It's like something you wouldn't even allow today. But you know the animals were healthy, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I love Sanford, and then we moved out to the present site today, and it's done very, very well.
Well, they've really expanded it in the last couple of years. I know now you are at Columbus Zoo, which is in Ohio, but you actually live in Montana. Am I right?
Yes, I live in Dublin, Ohio, since 1978. I have a home here, and I love Ohio. And then I do have a home in Montana where I work out in the summer times because I love hiking. I love Glacier National Park, so I spend a lot of time out there, you know, with the animals and nature, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. And of course, I spent about 261 days on the road.
Well, I just realized that, as I said, where you live, you probably live out of a suitcase would be more appropriate for that. So I know you've got a new show that's starting on Saturday mornings on ABC. So what is that about? Because you've had a lot of different shows over the time. I know this one's a little bit different.
Yeah, we've had our first show was Zoo Life back in 1988 to 1990, and then we had 1991 Jack Hanna's Animal Adventure started from almost Galley Day till 2000, probably in 6 or 7. So that was like 15 years. And then all over the world. And then Jack Hanna's Into the Wild started about 3 years ago. And that's my wife now. My daughter Kathleen helped me with the other one. Now, my wife now does this show, The End of the Wild. Now, this and that last one, Jack Hanna's Wild Countdown, started as a result of some guys wanting me to do another series. And I said, no, I'm not going to travel anymore. And they said, well, let's take the 20,000 or so tapes and discs we have over the last, 25, 30 years. And let's make the best of some of the footage that's never been seen. Some of you never remember, because I don't remember. It's really interesting to see kind of what I looked like 25 years ago, but that's kind of frightening. But more than that, it's showing you some things that we can't even get back in some of these countries. Like, for example, the top 10 bears in the world, top 10 cats in the world, my top 10 experiences with camouflage, my top 10 whales and dolphins in the world. So it's always a top 10, and you can imagine all this footage from all over the world taking the top 10. The show moves so fast. I mean, it's not a matter of moving fast. It's a matter of seeing so much in a half-hour show that it just blows my mind. I just never realized I did all these things until this series came out, and it started 2 weeks ago. It's on 9 o'clock around the country on ABC, obviously 9 o'clock Eastern. I think it's 6 or 7 o'clock Western, whatever. But it's turned out a lot better than I ever thought it would.
You know, you're kind of living a lot of people's dreams, and I'm sure when you first started out, you never thought it would get this big. What do you think has made you so popular and so endearing to people for so long? Because that's a long time in show business to be up there and still as popular, if not more so, than you were at the beginning.
Well, you know, it amazes me because, I like you said, show business, I don't use that term. I don't even like the word star, celebrity. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't take limos. I don't use the ride first class planes. I do what my dad taught me. Don't ever forget where you came from. And I'm sorry to say that some people might be, quote, celebrities, that kind of thing. I think they forget where they came from. They forget how they got there. They forget that the viewer is that's your customer, you know. And, of course, they don't want to be bothered. And I can see that sometimes. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes I can't do all the autographs I'm supposed to do and stuff. But you still treat people nice. I think my success is attributed to the fact that I am who I was when I was 12, when I was 8, when I was 20, when I was 30, 40. TV doesn't affect me. Anybody will tell you that. I really don't. You know, I've met presidents. I've met every celebrity in the world. But that doesn't affect me at all. You know, I'm right now by myself driving, I don't know, 2 hours to a meeting I'm going to be at the place called the Wilds. You know, I'm just an average person like everybody. I try and teach the animal world also in a very understanding way that's a fun way. Yes, it's a serious business what we do in conservation, but I know one thing. You cannot have conservation unless you have education, and people have to be educated. In this country, most people, as you well know, as far as their education, might be 8th or 9th grade. And so, therefore, I try and teach people, entire families, on that level, and maybe that's the reason that it's been successful. I have no reason. I didn't ever dream about being on TV, you know. It's not something I ever sought. You know, here we have 7 national shows right now I'm doing, whether it's be Good Morning America, 27 years, David Letterman, 26 years, Larry King, I did 24 years, do all the Fox stuff, Ellen, the talk on CBS, da-da-da-da-da. You know, I do it because there's a different audience on those shows. You don't get paid a lot of money to do those shows, by the way. Somebody said, oh, my God, you must fly jet. No, I don't have a jet. I couldn't even afford the wheel of a jet. But the thing is, what it does is the fact that it exposes people to many different audiences. Letterman's a whole different audience than Good Morning America. Good Morning America's a different audience than, you see what I mean? And you have to know how to, maybe if I've done anything good, it's how to relate to those different audiences. So I guess I'm trying to answer your question in several ways.
Well, you know what? You're right, though, because I did a small survey before I came on the air with you, and there was a young lady with 2 children that just love your show, and they love it because you don't talk down to them, but you don't also make it in terminology they can't understand, that you come across as being very real, and you don't look anything like her, but you kind of remind me of Julia Childs. I love watching her shows because things didn't
and
always...
And, Jack, I'm happy to concur. You do not look anything like her.
No, but you know what? Things go wrong sometimes, and I think that makes it much more real. And we all know that the best TV sometimes is when it doesn't go right, and I think that's something that you've got a very good knack of making it just look, hey, this is just perfectly normal. It's
well,
not
I don't want to use the analogy, and of course, RIP, but I believe, Jack, you have the same thing that Steve Irwin had on screen, and that is a capacity to keep it real in that cliched phrase and remember your roots, as you said.
Yeah, Steve, you know, Steve did things differently. Steve was a friend, and I did the story on Terry and the kids and everything, and I actually filmed Steve before he was even on TV, and I knew this guy was unique. Now, what I love about Steve was he was raised this way. What I don't like is a Steve Irwin wannabe. It's the guys, if you watch a lot of these stations, the Animal Planet, some of these stations today, Animal Planet was just like Planet Earth. And I the first time I ever said this on the radio. I shouldn't even be saying it. But they were absolutely incredible. If you remember Planet Earth, Attenborough's show in England.
Yeah,
and that's what Animal Planet was at first. But today, what is it today? It's reality TV, people getting bit, blood flying all over the place, reenactment of a snake bites, people killing alligators. That's not on their channel, by the way. But the point is that Steve Irwin did this because that's the way he was raised. He didn't do that just for to get his ratings and stuff. That was Steve Irwin. There's only one Steve Irwin. There's not going to be another one. But there's a lot of these guys trying to be Steve Irwin, and they're teaching things to kids that they shouldn't be doing or watching. That's all. And that's what I try and avoid. That yes, do I have accidents sometimes? Of course I do. But I try and treat animals with respect, and I try and treat them in a way that if you have an animal, people say, what's the most dangerous thing I did? I say, the word dangerous happens when I've gotten out of my comfort zone. If I cross into an animal's comfort zone, a wild animal, or that wild animal gets in my comfort zone, you get scared, and then all of a sudden you say, man, I've made a mistake. But Steve was different. Steve did that because that's who he was. See, the other guys ain't Steve Irwin, and nobody's ever going to be Steve Irwin because that's how an incredible human being the guy was. Plus, he was an incredible brand. I'm a brand, yes, but not like Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin was a very wealthy man, and he gave a lot of his money to conservation. I mean, thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres he bought for conservation. Not many
but
people
I think,
do that.
I think you're the voice of conservation that most people know, and, of course, sometimes we end up having to defend that there even the existence of zoos. We could spend at least 10 hours on arguing about that. I am for zoos in the right done the right way, and that is the premise on that. Listen, Jack, you know, we need to speak a lot more. I know you're a very busy man and you got to dash off, so I'm going to let you go, unfortunately, but I do want to direct everybody to your website because it is a great one, jackhanna.com. That's pretty simple. We can get that down. And then, of course, we need to watch that new show that you've got coming out. But most of all, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to be with us at All Paws Pet Talk.
No, you can. I enjoy doing that. I love Orlando. I'll be down there at SeaWorld doing shows here sometime around after the first year, I think.
Well, we do share a mutual friend, actually, Mitch Kalmanson. So I know he actually knows your wife pretty well. So
anyway. Yeah, we sure do, yeah.
So anytime, just look us up. We'd love to have you on the show again. And thank you so much.
Well, sure, try and do it. Take care, y'all. Thanks for all you do for the animal world.
Thanks. You, Jack.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know what else is cool?
What?
To go to his website. I mean, he's married to the same woman.
Oh,
you,
I know. Susie?
Yeah.
How many people do that? Maybe that's because he's away 286 days a year.
261, but that's okay. Right. I remember numbers.
You see, Jackie and I know when you've been married for a while,
yes.
What he doesn't realize, his wife probably packs the bags and says, thank God. Off he goes. No, all right, listen.
Well, again,
I know
in that celebrity
got
universe where you turn around and every
gosh,
other
yes.
day somebody's marrying somebody else.
All right, listen, let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
And then we're going to come back and
let's
we're going to be having the rant and rave. And we're going to be also talking with Tom
Nowicki.
Thank
yes.
you very much.
Yes, that's all right.
All righty then. Let's take the break.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Welcome back. What are you listening to? Will you stop? You're listening to Brian slapping his thighs, and that
there
just sounds
go.
So wrong.
Which is better than Brian slapping his thighs without slapping his thighs, which would be like right. Brian really needs to drop some of those thighs.
I wanted to let people know they are indeed listening to All Paws Pet Talk.
And I wanted to let them know that my thighs do not slap involuntarily when I walk.
No, I'm going okay?
to I've told my son, Sean, I said, dude, please, when I get to the point, if I get to the point where my butt cheeks are clapping for themselves as I walk, please put me out of my misery.
Well, we've got some things that we can help you with. What a nice guy, though, Jack Hamm.
Yes, yes.
And,
what a nice
and,
guy.
And really has brought such a great message to so many people in a way that they can understand it, you know?
Yes.
That's just wonderful. So I have to tell you a funny story, though, which is kind of connected with him.
Okay.
Because the other Jack, that is our producer Jack, had called me about this. And
right.
he's like, you know, the times have changed and this, that, and the other, right?
Jack
and
Hanna is a very busy man.
Right. Well, as it happened, I was pretty busy, too. I might
well,
have,
there you
know,
go. Give me five on your being busy.
Because we had another lamb go down really sick.
Oh.
And so we ended up having to do a blood transfusion,
oh.
which we'd never done a blood I don't know anybody that's done a blood transfusion
on
a lamb.
That's
we called the
extreme.
University. They've only really done one, and it was not for the same kind of circumstances.
Right,
so
right.
just as Jack calls, we are trying to get blood from one sheep
right.
and put it in the other. And I'm like, not now. He's like, but it's Jack Hanna thing. And I'm like, not now.
Right.
Such is my life.
The notedly and widely recognized as the friendliest host in radio.
Was not.
Hostess.
Was not, because I don't know why people
yes.
all decided to call. My phone kept going off.
That's the way it works.
And,
I think you need that new iPhone that didn't get great reviews.
No, but let's talk about, well, no, let's finish on the lamb thing.
Okay.
Because it's the silence of the lambs now, I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And
it
is, because
it
that's too. No,
oh
you know, we took the blood from actually my favorite sheep, and I
oh.
and that's in itself was risky, because you go straight
oh
into
gosh.
The jugular and you
uh-huh.
draw it out quickly.
Oh, God.
But I picked her because she was the easiest to handle, and I felt that if she needed aftercare herself, then she wouldn't be as stressed, right? But, yeah. You know, there was a possibility that we would lose her, which would have been devastating.
My God.
And anyway, transfusion went well, but it was just too late in the game. And I was up like every hour last night checking on, and she died around midnight.
I'm so sorry.
Well, it is, because we'd lost another one from this bloody coyote.
You're kidding.
And that took Violet's daughter. That's it. We are officially...
Don't you hate this food chain thing?
No, you know, he took a 70-pound lamb and dragged it under the fence, Brian.
Oh, my God.
So he's a big one.
That's
and
a big,
he's big
exactly.
enough to
That's
take
a big
someone's
coyote.
Dog.
Yeah.
Or if you leave your small child out at night, which, I don't know, maybe people...
Well, we've threatened to do that with Sean, but, you know, thus far we haven't acted on it. I will tell him this story, however, and if we do have to leave him out at night, we'll come leave him on your place.
I would not want to be out on our farm at night, because when you can go out there at night, you hear these noises. It's like being out in the jungle and you're not sure where it's coming from
it's a beautiful, serene, idyllic space, but yeah, I would imagine it's as dark as dark can be.
It is, because we don't have the pollution of the lights. And this,
would you like some polluting lights?
This idea that you're
asking for like transformers.
You know, everybody saw by starlight or walked by moonlight. I have no idea how they did it, because I can't even walk my way to the barn.
No. Well, you may not know it, but you've probably been stalked by that coyote.
Oh, stop.
And has decided.
Now, you see, that's
it.
Totally done it now, because.
Freaking
now,
you out. Freaking
yes,
you
it
out.
Has freaked me out. Yes, it has.
Yep. I'm sorry about
so,
that.
So, anyway, we're going to have to review our coyote protection.
And you know
policy.
What that coyote was thinking in his head as he was stalking you? He was thinking of saying, "Hello, Clarice."
No, stop it. great movie, though.
Great movie.
You were talking about something else, and I interrupted you, didn't I? Gosh, now you see, this is the trouble.
It's okay.
Isn't
my
it?
Thoughts go and
go with
they
the
come and go just as readily as the wind changes.
Probably,
yes.
You know, why am I in this room? Oh, yes, that's why I remember now.
It's a little warm in this room today, isn't it?
I'm sorry. Well, Jackie's not here blowing cold air on us, I guess.
Is that what it is? And I am here blowing hot air.
So, yeah, every day a busy day, but certainly not as busy as Jack Hanna must be.
No. Jack Hanna is, well, he's one of these people. When I look at what he does, it makes me feel weak in the knees at my inadequacies, because this is like a 24/7 guy. Does he ever sleep?
No, I don't think so. I don't. People say, what do you do? I don't sleep.
No, I know you don't.
I would love to
sleep. I'm looking at you as I say this, because I know that your rest schedule.
No,
you look great. Annie is a beautiful woman, listeners. Just know this. She is.
I wish she could have seen me yesterday.
And yet she accomplishes it without much sleep at all?
No, I don't sleep very much at all. I wish I could. I mean, I would like to sleep. So, my rant of the week.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I don't know why people want to yell at our staff all the time. I think that's what's really getting
want
me now.
Want to what?
Yell at the staff.
Oh, you're kidding.
You know, when you go in a place,
you're kidding.
Can't you just hold it together? There's some guy madder than hell this morning because he did not have proof of his vaccines for boarding.
Why don't you just throw his ass out?
So, then you really are. People are odd now, Brian. You know, I mean, look at all the shootings and everything else.
I guarantee you, Kent grew up on a farm.
Can we ask you out there,
Kent knows how to use a gun, right? I'm not suggesting he come out packing, but.
No, but we had a bit of a gun incident over Christmas, and I went to shoot the gun for the first time because I felt that out there we were going to have to do it. And it was a big gun. I can't remember what you call them, like a Clint Eastwood right?
Yeah. That's a matter.
And so, well, it wasn't that one then. It was the next one. Whatever. Does it really matter if the bullet's coming
really
towards
doesn't.
You? May I have
you
a look at your gun?
You know what? A 22 can kill you just as readily if it hits you correctly.
He said, it can't shoot with something, without something happening. And I held the gun, and Brian, it went off.
Well, theoretically, he was probably saying, you got to take the safety off.
It was, even he didn't think it was going to go off. And there were like five people standing around.
Well, there you go.
And I missed all of them, thank God.
Annie, I was taught to shoot by my father when I was young, and yet I've never owned a gun. And one of the reasons is it's not that I don't trust my temper, but I don't want to be tempted ever if I have a really extreme encounter. And you know what I'm talking about, that horrible incident recently in Apopka. 18-year veteran of the Orlando Police Department who killed his 22-year-old son because of a confrontation they had. And he's brokenhearted.
You know, when the gun went off with me, I just walked away and I said to him, I can't touch one again, because I could have killed someone.
You're absolutely right.
You know,
and things like that do happen all the time.
So anyway, That is my rant, is please could you get your vaccination records together, not get mad because you don't have
Even if you don't have your vaccination records together, how about like acting like something suggestive of a civil human being?
But they don't. You'd be surprised the language that comes out.
Again, I wouldn't be surprised.
That's my rant for the week.
I'd give it to him back in multiples, and you're too genteel and kind to do that.
No, you can't, because it'll go to a different level. We've had people truly threaten the staff, and we have to have police here. So
yeah, I'll bet so.
Keep it together, folks. And just be pleasant to the staff wherever you are.
Right.
So I am going to be getting some more chickens and some more lambs.
I've got to tell you what, this is like,
because
is that
nothing
like a death sentence for these animals, though?
No, because we're going to electrify the whole thing.
Trial and error?
I'm going to get my son-in-law to sit out one night with his gun, and I'm sorry, all you coyote lovers out there who have no idea what it's like to be dealing with this.
Right.
He will sit and wait. I did threaten one of our dogs recently when it was badly behaved. We may have to use you as coyote bait and tie you to the post.
Whoa.
Now, you see, everybody's going to think I'm serious about that, right?
I think you're serious, and I know you're pretty
well. I tell you what, it stopped her tail wagging.
Out.
She was like, ooh.
My tail's just stopped wagging.
Well, thank God for that. All right, listen. Another favorite animal of mine, not unfavorite because coyote's not, is the dolphin. And we're going to be talking to someone
who's
in that movie, A Dolphin's Tale. So we're going to ask everybody to sit tight, be prepared for a liftoff after the break. You're listening to All Paws Pet Talk.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Lick the plate.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Back from the break. You are listening to All Paws Pet Talk. One of, I think, most people's favorite animals. I don't know anybody who doesn't like them, Brian, are dolphins.
Flipper, Flipper.
You see, I never saw that because I don't have TV.
Well, there you go.
But there is a wonderful new movie that's just come out called A Dolphin Tale.
Yes, indeed, A Dolphin Tale. And that's a little that's a little tale in and of itself, is it not? Because the spelling, of course, is T-A-L-E. But
someone trying to be smartass.
It's also exactly.
So anyway, we have a gentleman who actually took part in that movie.
We do indeed. We do indeed.
And
a gentleman whom
something.
I happen to know.
Well, there you are. You're going to introduce him.
Well, I'll be delighted to. Tom, I'm going to spare the introduction because we want to speak with you, brother. Hey, listen, Dolphin Tale.
Hi, Brian.
Great success. Congratulations. And
thank you.
You know, And I know, of course, your love of animals and your passion for dogs in particular, so it had to be gratifying on two levels, professionally as both an actor and as somebody who's committed to animals.
Oh, it hardly felt like work. It was a couple of weeks of really just fun and, you know, and excitement. Meeting Winter was great. Meeting the people that worked with her were great. And it, you know, it not only was helped make my heart bigger, but I have to say it gave me a few ideas about, you know, what we could do to make Hip Dog a more valuable asset to the animal community here in Central Florida, too. So
sensational. And, you know, it's funny because Annie, her husband, Dr. Kent Greer, happens to be connected, I guess would be the...
Classmate
of the vet who actually originally ministered to Winter, the real Winter. Yeah, so we got multiple connections going here, bro.
So I know you also have a Hip Dog here in town. That sounds like a good pub name, actually. Hip Dog.
Hip Dog.
Yeah, Hip Dogs. So tell us a little bit about that, and we'll go back to the movie, of course. I know people want to hear about that.
Well, Hip Dog, we started 10 years ago. My friend Christina had a three-legged Brittany Spaniel who, as everybody knows, Spaniels have two positions on their throttle. It's either nothing or all out. So he was, you know, and he did everything. He ran, he swam, he jumped off docks, he chased squirrels, he played ball, and everything. He was always worn out and tired. And I was flying back from Los Angeles one day, and in the seat pocket in front of me was a copy of Old Dog Journal with an article in there about this emerging new therapy called hydrotherapy, swim therapy for dogs. And it seemed perfect for Cosmo. Problem was that the nearest pool at that point was in North Carolina, which would have been too much of a commute. So Christina and I decided to head up to New York and take the training with the idea that we'd come back and we'd just use it for Cosmos, and she had a pool and for the other family dogs who had their own issues. But once we got up there and studied for a while, we sort of looked at each other and said, this is way too valuable just to keep to ourselves. So we came back and we opened Hip Dog. And we've been going at it for 10 years now. I guess we've been a part of, probably about 1,000 dogs' lives at this point. So.
And obviously we have an interest at our particular clinic. We do a lot of alternative therapies, so we're all into the rehab part after surgery. Now, didn't you just help a dog? Was it you guys that was
Harper.
Helping the dog that had been found?
Yeah.
In
Harper
the bag
was
and
found.
Ended
by,
up on TV.
Yeah, Harper was found. Mm-hmm. She was found by the side of the road in a garbage bag. A man was selling pit bull puppies, and a woman drove by, saw a garbage bag by its feet wiggling and making noises, and she prevailed on him to open up the bag that was Harper in there, and he was intent on, I guess, destroying her, but he gave the woman the dog. She took the dog to her vet, and her vet said that, you know, the prognosis was grim. She had something that's called swimmer puppy syndrome. The chest doesn't develop properly, and there's an impingement in the neurological development as a result, which doesn't give the dog the strength to pull their legs out underneath them. They wind up laying down like if you can imagine Beanie Babies from the 90s, and they're out to the side. They don't have the strength to put them underneath them. But the woman took the dog home, figuring that if she had to put her down, she was at least going to give her one day of love and attention, and spent the day massaging her and playing with her, and decided that she had too much will to live just to euthanize her. So she asked around and found us as just sort of taking the one in a million chance that we might be able to do something, and she brought her to us. We swam with her for a little bit, and you know, when she got in the water, her legs were able to hang underneath her, and she was able to start making little strokes, and then as she built up strength, a little more and a little more and a little more. After her third session, she went home, took a nap, and then her mom went in to look for her, and she was standing up. About two sessions later, she took her first step. She walked about 20 feet. A week later, she was running, and right now, she, as I think probably millions of people saw, she ran around on the Today Show and wound up chewing on Matt Lauer's shoelaces. So she's a real big success story for us all.
So... You know, I love the happy endings on that. And
I think we ought to rename her, even though it's a little gender switch. And I'm not one to invoke the Bible, as you may have discerned previously, Tom. But, you know, maybe Lazarus, something like that, because it's really quite a remarkable recovery.
It is. So, and I also know the lady, Erica, that helps with the pit bull rescue that kind of instigated a lot of this. Let's go back to the movie a little bit. Of course, we're recommending everybody goes and sees it, A Dolphin
Gotten phenomenal Tale. Reviews. Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that it's been number one at the box office each of the last 2 weeks, has it not?
Just this last week. We finally passed The Lion King this last week.
Okay.
So it's number one. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be number one now for a little while to come. But
that's phenomenal.
So where is that actually filmed?
That was filmed in Clearwater at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium, which is over there on the Gulf, a beautiful facility. And because of winter, they are in the middle of a capital campaign. They're going to try to raise $12 million to rebuild the facility. They have a really they're in a unique location. They're on the edge of a lagoon that had been used as a little sort of calm water harbor for boats. It was owned by the county. The county gave up on it and deeded the land over to the people at the aquarium. And what they're going to do, they've engaged engineers to figure out a way to put a barrier on the open end of the lagoon that will allow game fish to come in, but the residents of the aquarium not to be able to get out. So these dolphins that are swimming in tanks now will now have something like 20 acres of seawater to swim in, instead of having to be housed in those more cramped quarters. So it's a pretty wonderful thing that's going on there. It's all thanks to winter.
Oh, that's awesome. So where is winter now?
Winter lives in a tank there with an older dolphin girl named Panama, who's kind of like her mom. Panama is deaf, so she can never be released. And in winter, without the tail, can't go out in the wild again. But they're a great pair. They swim, they play, they love on each other all the time, and they're kind of devoted to each other. I think they're what each one of them needed now at this point in their lives.
Now, Tom, going back to the film, I think it probably some of the listeners would remember your director, Charles Martin Smith, first mm-hmm. having come to prominence about 40 years ago, I think it was, with George Lucas's
American Graffiti.
American Graffiti. Terry the Toad.
Well, for me, too, one of my favorite books in college was Farley Mowat's book called Never Cry Wolf about, his account of his time as a biologist for the Canadian Wildlife Service going into the Northwest Territories with the mission of trying to figure out how to eradicate the wolves and him falling absolutely in love with them. I think I probably wore out two copies of that book reading it over and over again. And
I hope you got one of them autographed while he was busy directing it.
Well, this thing almost never happened for me because when I heard that they were making a film, my heart sank. So I thought, never do films ever equal a book. And it was, with great trepidation that I went to see the film. But the work that Charles Martin Smith did in that film was so amazing. I thought that he captured things that I didn't think any film could capture. And when I met him and went in for the audition, I was almost incapable of making a sound because I was sitting in front of a hero that I'd had for 40 years. And I had to get that out and apologize before that for my, for my hero worship. And then we were able to get on with the audition. So,
well, great. Congratulations.
It came pretty close to sounding like I was sucking up, too. So I was a very dangerous line.
Well, that always is tough. And yet we're in a business where if you do admire someone's work, tell them, it was a wise call.
So listen, before we wind up on this, and we do want to say thank you so much for joining us today on All Paws Pet Talk.
My pleasure.
Give us the website of your therapy service that you do for the dogs.
It is hipdog.net, and H-I-P-D-O-G. H-I-P-D-O-G.net, one word.
Hipdog.net. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm definitely going to be going out to see that movie this weekend, I think. Hey, maybe I'll tip the numbers over. You never know.
bring their children.
Yeah,
thank you very much for having me on.
A lot of children.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tom. Be well, brother.
I would love to go and see that. You see, we need more of those movies.
Yeah, we do.
I think because...
We do. You're right. It's a family film. It's got an upbeat ending. We are surrounded by so much despair. And it's not that it's exaggerated despair. I realize it gets great airplay, but we're living in a very difficult time. People need some hope.
And you know what I'm going to try and do is actually get that veterinarian to come on the show.
That'd
be
phenomenal.
That actually was the one that instigated the real life tale of that. So listen, we're going to keep on the dolphin theme when we come back from the break. We're
cool.
going to be joined by Karen from Pet of the Day, and she's going to be showing us, just telling some stories of wonderful dolphin rescues. So stay with us because we're going to be right back. It's All Paws Pet Talk, and we are continuing with the dolphin theme. So, Brian, when the kids... could you shush a minute?
No, let's get a job.
So when the kids went on honeymoon last week...
Yes,
and then
yes, and they ultimately got there,
right.
And hopefully ultimately became
they
a great
out,
honeymoon.
They went out paddleboarding in Hawaii. They went out about 200-300 yards, and suddenly they had these, I guess they're called spinner dolphins.
Yeah, yeah.
And they gave them like a 20-minute show.
Oh, did
private,
they say, well, they probably heard what a crapped
show.
Out
well,
trip they
true.
Had getting there. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and they said these
But initially when Becky
some,
saw the fins and she sees Chad paddling
oh, yeah,
out towards
thinking,
them, she's
oh,
thinking,
God.
Why is he paddling towards George?
Right.
You know, but anyway, it turned out to
right,
be great.
Right.
I know there's so many incidences of dolphins helping man.
Yes.
And of course we do try and help dolphins
and
too.
And dolphins will fight off a shark.
Right. So I thought we would go to Karen from Pet of the Day and see if she could find us some great stories. So good morning, Karen. How are you today?
Good, Annie. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Karen.
All right. I want to start with the first one, which is the group of lifeguards who were swimming off the coast of New Zealand. I'm not sure why they were swimming off the coast. Oh, they were on a training swim. All right, we'll let them off.
Yes, yes.
And I can pronounce the name of the beach. It's well, I can pronounce Ocean Beach, okay, near Whangarei, because I have actually been there, Whangarei on the North Island. So tell us that story. It's kind of cool.
Whangarei, is it yes, a nude yes. beach?
No,
okay.
Stop it.
Thank you, Kara. I'm glad you got it.
Okay. The four swimmers, they were out, they were on a training mission. The lifeguard named Rob was training three female lifeguards, and they were about 100 meters off the beach, and all of a sudden a pod of dolphins just came streaming at them and started circling them, and they were like, this is weird, and they thought it was really strange because they came so quickly, and they thought maybe it was aggressive dolphins or dolphins protecting a baby or something, and the dolphins circled and bunched the swimmers together, slapping the water with their tails for about 40 minutes, which is unusual. You know, they were like being border collies of the ocean. And it wasn't until, like, the one lifeguard drifted away from the group that he saw there was a great white shark about 2 meters away from them. And he knew that the dolphins were protecting them. So, you know, they all stayed in their little group. And he didn't even tell the other people until after they got to shore. And the dolphins just circled them and circled them and circled them until the shark gave up and went away.
I probably wouldn't have been, I wouldn't want to have known either.
No,
because
no.
I think then you just go into panic. Now, do they have any idea why dolphins do this? Protective behavior towards humans, I mean?
There's no sort of, you know, scientific reason why they do it. But dolphins have done this, you know, throughout history. As far back as recorded history exists, there have been stories of dolphins saving people. You know, Herodotus told the story about in Greek mythology about a musician saved by dolphins after sailors threw him into the sea. And wherever you go online, you can find stories, you know, from 2004, a Filipina kid fell over, and a dolphin that everybody knew came and rescued him and brought him back. Dolphins are always have been sort of instinctively friendly to people, and it turns out, this is the really cool thing I found, dolphins are closer to humans gene-wise than dogs are.
So how did you find that out?
You know, if you look and you look and you look, you can find lots of stuff. This was a study at the University of Texas A&M. And, of course, years ago they mapped the human genome, and then they started mapping other species' genome. And there are lots and lots of similarities that looked like on the sort of the gene map that humans and dolphins and apes sort of branched off the evolutionary tree around the same time.
Oh, no, that is interesting. Now, of course, we know that they're used a lot with the Navy and during times of war.
Well, World War II, there are tales of downed flyers who, you know, were kept alive because, sadly, many perished in shark attacks subsequent to having to bail or going down in an aircraft and survived the crash landing, if you will, but perished with a shark attack. There are tales of flyers who were saved by dolphins during the Second World War.
And, you know, I'm the only person on the planet that never saw Flipper.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
Your childhood is deficient.
Thank you
so
much.
It really is. Because I guarantee you, we all saw Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, but you couldn't be bothered with Flipper.
I didn't have TV.
That creates a hitch.
Yes, it does. See, believe it or not, when I lived in South Africa in my early youth, there was no TV in South Africa.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Because, I mean, that's within the sort of years you can remember.
I'm older than you. How does it sound as if you grew up in the Stone Age?
Well, thank you very much for that.
No, but that's the thing. I'm conceding I'm dramatically older than you.
I think this makes me erudite and knowledgeable.
Well, you are erudite and knowledgeable. And, you know, it's just sad that you had a deprived childhood.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a good thing my parents aren't still alive, otherwise they'd take
Yeah, I'd be taking them to task right now. This woman didn't have a flat screen in her room. I'm saying 32 inches minimum.
And I survived in spite of it all, right?
Hey, I only had black and white until I was like 14.
Karen, you had a bit in there about some dolphin rescue thing. And the part that actually got my attention was where the shark hit him three times. This is a surfer.
Yes.
Peeling the skin off his back. Okay, that sounded like something I wouldn't want.
No, and mauling his right leg to the bone, let's not.
Was that simply from, you know, they feel like sandpaper? Was it from that, or what was the peeling the skin off the back bit, or did he just have a really bad case of sunburn or something?
And just happened to have his right leg mauled at the same time.
The shark came and tried to grab the surfer, but he got the surfer and the surfboard. So he ended up, when he was trying to get away, it just scraped the skin with his teeth off his back, but his stomach was protected by the surfboard.
Ugh, just sounds horrible. All righty, well, we've just been told to wrap it up for the day, Karen. But, you know, there are just so many stories, and I know everybody can do research, not as well as you, of course, necessarily, but certainly it's kind of fun when, as you said, you get taken down the chain of knowledge. So we'll think of a good one for next week as well. And we want to say thank you, as always, Karen, for doing your 3 o'clock in the morning research.
Yes, thank you so much, Karen.
I think the listeners have had enough of both of us. So without more ado, I'm going to say thank you for listening to All Paws Pet Talk.
And I'm going to say get your yayas out.
Okay, and I'm going to say I have no idea what that means, but all I've got left to say is cheerio.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.